League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Oh man, it's 6 p.m., and that means it's time for the bullpen, starring the one and only Joe George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
Listen and be fascinated as the longtime producer becomes untethered by lesser talent and can truly talk sports the way he was meant to, with no reins or restrictions, with stellar takes and perfect diction.
I'm assistant regional manager. I should know first.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, okay.
Now, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen with Joe George.
Welcome into The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. You're welcome into the show at 713-780-3776. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And if you haven't heard yet, also at the ESPN Houston YouTube channel. We're live there. That's going to become a new staple going forward for the station. So we'll have a chat there as well that you can jump in on and hopefully be super less toxic than Twitch. Twitch, I still love you, though. I promise. So the Texans play a football game this weekend, huh? Against the Baltimore Ravens, 9.5-point dogs. Biggest story in the city. Jim Crane says, not so fast, Brian McDonald. Josh Hader, 5 years, $95 million. The best 7-8-9 win healthy in all of baseball. Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, Ryan Pressly. I am blown away by this move by the Astros. Like, you think back to last year, and I think Jeremy and Joel had a good point yesterday, that last year when a national reporter said that the Astros were close to signing Anthony Rizzo, we could all kind of smell what that was. It was an agent saying, hey, the Astros are about to sign Rizzo, and the Yankees forked up the money right away. Yesterday did feel different. Yesterday felt different in the fact that it was Chandler Rome who reported that the Astros were heavily pursuing Josh Hader. But still, in my wildest dreams of what the Houston Astros have done with the luxury tax, I did not think they would give someone a five-year, $95 million contract. And kudos to you, Jim Crane. Kudos to you, Dana Brown. Because this is a monster move that even though I would have liked the left field bat, even though I would have liked, or at least an improvement in center field so Chaz could play in left, even though I would have liked two or three arms in the bullpen, especially after the Graveman injury news, which was only this week, this move is lights out, and it means that this team, that it, when you get to the playoffs, you only need Justin Verlander to go six innings, and nobody's beating you.
Yeah, this move isn't even made for Verlander, but this is a conversation that I've had with other people on the station going back to when the offseason began back in November about if the Astros can't or won't decide to spend the money it would take for a front-end starting pitcher, because obviously the cost of a front-end starting pitcher way more than what they paid Josh Hader, then one way to still help the starting pitchers while not spending starting pitching money is to add a top-notch reliever like this, because for the Christian Javiers, the Luis Garcias when he comes back, the Lance McCullers when he comes back, Hunter Brown if he's in the rotation, Jose Urquidy, basically everyone not named Verlander and Fromber, who, you know, these are guys that can barely get through five innings. You're hoping for six on the best-case scenario. Now you don't have to worry about that bridge to the relievers you trust. Because if they can get you to six, which hopefully isn't too much to ask, ball game over. Like, I mean, Astros fans will remember the early to mid-2000s when they had a situation where Brad Lidge was your seventh-inning guy, went to Octavio Dotel in the eighth, and then Billy Wagner, who hopefully will be in the Hall of Fame in the ninth inning. And it's kind of harking back to that, where if you get the game to the sixth inning, the game's over. So, yeah, I love the move because it feels like a move where – it's tough to say paying a reliever. What was it? $92 million?
$95 million. Yeah.
It's tough to say that paying a reliever $95 million is a cost effective or a cost saving move, but it kind of is when you think about it in the way I just talked about, where it's not only helping your bullpen, but it's kind of like adding a starting pitcher in that you're not asking these starting pitchers who can't go deep into games to go as deep into the games.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other thing about Josh Hader that I really like for this move is that he has shown in his career he can go multiple innings. In fact, right. Josh Hader is the only pitcher in Major League Baseball history that recorded 8 outs with 8 strikeouts. He had a game in the last 2 years.
I didn't know that.
8 outs, 8 strikeouts. Like, that's 2 2/3.
That's like 2 2/3 an immaculate inning?
Like, that's incredible that he could do that. I saw, you know, not the biggest fan, but Ryan Spader put out all these stats about, you know, Josh Hader. He's like number one in MLB history in K percentage. All these things. He is an elite.
He's the elite of the elite,
yeah,
for sure.
I know people have texted this and said this all day. It is also like so ironic that this move happens after Dusty leaves.
Because he's a lefty?
Yes, because he's a lefty. Yeah. Now, Jim Crane, Chandler Rome pointed this out yesterday. Jim Crane went on the record after the trade deadline and said the Houston Astros were trying to acquire 2 high-level pitchers from the San Diego Padres. At one point, it was pretty well believed that Blake Snell and both Josh Hader were on the market and were going to be moved, but he said the Padres backed out of the deal. So this is someone that was drafted by this organization, obviously traded away, worst trade ever because it brought a rat to the organization. I wasn't even here for that, but it's so clear it's an awful trade.
It's one of the worst trades in team history. Yeah. It's like the 180 of the Yordan or the Jeff Bagwell trades.
Yes, and honestly, it's worse because like
best part of that trade, Joe, is they got Carlos Gomez. The best part.
It's pretty bad.
it's pretty bad.
So like, there's so much positive about this deal because you can attack this, you know, the bullpen going forward in so many different ways. I still believe Ryan Pressly is going to be your traditional 9-inning closer.
Doesn't matter.
But I don't think it really matters.
No, it doesn't matter.
And frankly, like, what it should be about is, and that's where I think, now Chandler Rome said today, somewhere else, that, you know, Ryan Pressly was aware that this move was happening. So hopefully there's a belief that they're going to do what's best for this team. For example, if you're playing the New York Yankees, I don't know, an opening day, and Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Anthony Rizzo in some order are going to come up to the plate 1, 2, 3. If that's the 7th inning, that's Josh Hader's inning. Brian Abreu gets the next one, and then Pressly gets the 9th. Like, you have 3 high-leverage pitchers that you can wheel and deal in a bunch of different ways and shorten games pretty consistently. You've got injury backups now, where if Pressly or Hader or Abreu go down, you still have at least 2 guys, hopefully always, that are going to be healthy. So this is a super positive move on so many fronts. It strengthens your bullpen. It gives you the best bullpen, again, at least 7, 8, 9 in all of baseball. It's not even close what the Houston Astros have versus everybody else. It also shows that like all these concerns and questions that we had about Jim Crane and going to the luxury tax, at least for this moment, he's leaving them behind. Like one of the first texts we get here, 8089. Does Hader's deal close the door on a Tucker extension? You know what my immediate reaction to that?
I think the door was closed before the Josh Hader.
Honestly, my immediate reaction, Brian, is now the answer I think is no. Like, if he's willing to do this, how far would he go?
Yeah, you're right. This does change the math because, I mean, you and I, before this Josh Hader trade, and this goes the same, I'm sure, for everyone here at the station, we weren't talking about could the Astros add a $95 million relief pitcher. It's like, can we get like a $10 million left fielder?
Yes.
Can we get like a $5 million, you know, 6th inning guy? Like we weren't even sure Jim Crane was willing to spend barrel money for, you know, a platoon left fielder or a 6th inning reliever. And not only did he go he went way beyond that with Josh Hader. So you do have to kind of readjust your thinking of where we've been at all offseason, and that he's not willing to spend any money actually he's willing to give in present day money the richest contract ever for a relief pitcher because, of course, Diaz with the Mets had a lot of deferrals in his contract. So Jim Crane's really kind of making everyone's heads explode around town in a good way, because we thought he was cheap, and turns out he's thrown out the most cash in history for a reliever.
Now, I will say this. I still do not think Kyle Tucker will be here long term.
It's below 50%. I would agree with that. Now, but you certainly, you at least have to factor in as a possibility now.
Absolutely. Now, going forward, I think everything that like John and others have reported about Alex Bregman, obviously he has his house in Arizona now. That's where he's working out. He believes he will not return. I still believe this will be, you know, Alex Bregman's last year. I still think that they're going to go even more into the luxury tax this season. I still think that before spring training is over, they will have a deal done for Jose Altuve. If they don't, that deal will be signed within seconds of them being eliminated from the playoffs next year or winning the World Series.
I have no concerns whatsoever 100%. That Jose Altuve will come back. And I'm glad you brought up the idea of the luxury tax, because part of what we talked about the, you know, is Jim Crane cheap, is he not, was that before, you know, this moment here with Josh Hader, he'd only gone past the line for the salary tax once, and it was in a season where that was all forgiven because of COVID. And you know, people would bring up, well, he's above that line now, but it was in a situation where that line's not calculated to the end of the season. So you could still make the argument, well, he's going to get under it before the season's over. He's still being cheap. But throwing out $95 million for Josh Hader completely blows that up. He's going to be over the salary line there. So
yeah, the idea,
that conversation of Jim Crane's too cheap to go over it, completely over, at least for this season.
The idea that Jim Crane is going to also get under is completely...
There's no way he can get under now.
You'd have to trade Rafael Montero, who has zero trade value.
Yeah, who would do...
Or, like, trade Bregman mid-season, which they're not going to do.
The only way he could get... The only way I could possibly see the Astros going under the line at this current point is if you're in June, July, and you basically have a Texans offensive line situation where everybody's hurt and the season's over. Not the Texans season wasn't over. But like basically say, you know, basically all the non-tradable assets are hurt. Verlander's hurt. Presley's hurt. You know, all these guys are hurt. And then maybe you trade off the guys towards the end of their contract and that puts you under the limit. But barring some catastrophic injury situation, they're not getting under the line this year.
Yeah, there's no way they are. But 3338 says, does this move mean they're trading someone? To me, the answer to that before the season or now is no. Now, my first thought was, well, maybe they would move on from Presley somehow. Ryan Presley has a full no-trade clause, Chandler Rome said today on Twitter, so or X. But so I also don't think you make this move to then go move on from Presley. Now, long term, you are moving on from Ryan Presley. That's very clear with this move, that whenever his contract ends, I think it's after 2025, Ryan Presley will be leaving and he will not be back. Maybe in the future he is traded. Now, if there are injuries and other moves you could make, sure, I could see something. But most likely, no. I don't think that because you signed Josh Hader, you now have to or going to make another trade, because the two assets you would want to move the most to drop down and stay away from the second tier of the luxury tax, which they are $3.6 million away from, are Lance McCullers and Rafael Montero, and neither of those guys...
Yeah, you can't move those guys. No one's trading
exactly
for them.
Exactly. Like, the only thing you're trading them for is a more broken asset in return that's contracted...
Is that possible?
Like, yeah, like...
Who's more broken than Lance?
Patrick Corbin. Like,
okay, that's actually fair. Okay, good. Yeah, good call.
But like, they'd have to also be on an expiring contract to make it work. So like, there's no way these guys are being moved.
And beyond that, Joe, I mean, think about it. What we were talking a few days ago about how the Astros had this huge hole in their bullpen after the Kendall Graveman news broke. So you now fix that hole with Josh Hader to then trade Ryan Presley and create the hole all over again?
Exactly.
That makes no sense.
No, and so like, I'm impressed. Like, I'm impressed all around. I did not think that a move like this would come. I thought they might go into luxury tax for Hector Neris, honestly. I thought maybe they would make a move.
I think that conversation's over.
Oh, for sure. That conversation.
You're not paying Hector Neris what apparently he reportedly wants, $50 million for 3 years. There's no way you're paying that. You might still wait out the relief market for someone like Maton, but you're not. If Neris wants $50 million, he's not coming back.
Yeah, a couple other texts here. 0002, long text, but long story short. Would you be surprised if they go after, or maybe he'll sign Soler too? Honestly, at this point, if you're going to go over, you might as well go really over.
I love Soler. The problem is he's a left fielder. Jordan's a left fielder. Neither one of them could field.
You're right. You're right.
That's the problem.
It is
That's the problem.
It is a huge problem.
Unless one of them magically can play another position, you're going to be dealt with a really bad left fielder at all times.
Now, Soler, I think, is good enough, and so is Jordan. Like, you prefer him to not be out there.
I'm fine with him at home. I'm just not happy with him on the road.
That's the
81
problem.
Games a year, you're going to have a problem.
Exactly. And, like, if you don't get a top seed in the playoffs, that means when you go on the road in the playoffs, you're going to be at a disadvantage. 0841, but will Hader agree to injure Lamar Jackson in order for the Texans to advance in the playoffs? Yes. 9198. I think the move was made to prevent the strangers from getting him. Great. Awesome.
Good. Sure.
Like, if that's what part of this move is, sure. Now, one thing the Bees brought up here before we go to break is that, like, Jim Crane has shown in the past that, like, he will go into the luxury tax or he will go after a big name. Like, he went into the luxury tax with Zach Greinke with the intention of paying luxury tax. He just, I don't know, happened to catch a break because the world went into a pandemic. Like, his intention was to pay into the luxury tax. He just happened to catch a break in that moment because fans were not going to games. He still made the decision to go into the luxury tax when he acquired Zach Greinke. Believe the reports or not, James Click basically got fired because he didn't go after Starling Marte, which also would have put the Astros into the luxury tax. So Jim Crane, you know, Joel and Jeremy are right. Like, when he sees a big-name, sexy target, he's willing to make that move. Now, apparently he won't do it with his own players, but if you are from the outside of the organization.
Maybe he's telling us Kyle Tucker isn't sexy. Maybe that's what he's telling us.
You know what? He's probably right. He's not. He's a skinny little white dude. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to keep talking Astros. We're talking Texans. It is a fun day in Houston Sports Radio. I wish Jim Crane would have waited till, like, the Texans lost by 20 to the Ravens to give me this topic on Monday to feel better.
You have to go and put out a lose by 20.
I'm just saying.
We're going to break, and you're going to drop that on everybody?
Texans win on Saturday.
You're a bad person, Joe.
Here's why. Next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Insert random audio clip. Now,
Mr. Campbell, send out the amendment is acceptable to the author. Is there objection to the opposite amendment? The chair has none. The amendment is adopted.
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5. And 92.5.
Joe George, Brian McDonald here on the Bullpen with you till 7 o'clock. We'll head to National Sports Radio after that and then a Hall of Fame at 8. A couple other texts here. 7218, if you're talking about a trade target, Fromber might still be in play to trade. It's possible, depending on how Garcia and McCullers, never know, come back. Like, if they were going to make one big, big splash this offseason and trade away a fundamental piece of this roster, Fromber, to me, always made the most sense. Because, to
How
me,
so?
I'm not a believer.
And I just, a pitcher who can routinely throw 200 innings with at least a solid ERA is a unicorn
100%.
In this day of baseball.
100%.
So, I can't see that as, like, the first name that will come to mind, especially since he's under team control for more than just the season. I mean, the obvious guy to me would have been Alex Bregman, since this is his last year and you'd want to try to get something before he leaves for, well, not leaves for nothing. It's like you'd get a compensatory pick, but not nearly enough would come in return compared to a trade.
No, for sure. For Fromber, it was like, if you're going to make a move, you should make a big move. Like, trading Alex Bregman, the idea of that for, you know, two prospects who are probably ready to play in the majors. Like, the Astros would never trade Alex Bregman for guys that are 18, 19 years old. If they were going to make that move, you know, the team I suggested was the Cubs. Like, they have Peter Crow Armstrong. They have Christopher Morel. Like, that would solve your third base and center field problem in one move. And, like, and you get younger, cheaper, whatever, and maybe you take a step back at third, but hopefully Yainer Diaz can, you know, pick up the slack. My idea was, like, if you trade Fromber, you're talking, like, Luis Robert. Like, you're talking about, like, a guy that, like, I'm not moving him for nobody. I'm moving him in a trade that gets me a foundational piece like Luis Robert from the White Sox, who is locked up long term. I wouldn't just move these guys to move them. And then that's what kind of people are getting at here too. Like, you know, if Jim Crane is worried about cheap, I just don't think he would have made this move. I don't think there's going to be a follow-up punch that we're going to see. We're not going to see a counter punch here from Jim Crane and Dana Brown to get back into the luxury tax. I'm sure they'd love one, but like it just you're not moving Montero and McCullers. And those are the only two guys that you could trade that would help you in this moment.
I think we need to following up on your point there, I think we need to readjust our takes when it comes to Jim Crane. Like, full admission, I was wrong about this. I didn't think he was going to spend any money this offseason, like a lot of us thought. But it's time to readjust the tape, because this isn't the type of move that you make to just kind of ease your way over the luxury tax, just kind of try to make a move. This is an all-in move. This is a dramatic shoving of the chips into the middle of the table. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be more surprised if they made a secondary move to then get back under the cap, as I would for them to make another huge move. I mean, why this isn't a move that you make to follow up by a cost-saving move to me. This is a move that you make because you realize this is the end of a possible window to win a championship. You got Verlander in his 40s. You got a lot of guys like Bregman and Tucker and Altuve and some others coming up to the near to the end of their contracts. This is a move that, to me, signals I'm going all in. So I'd far more expect them to make another splash move before they would take a step back to save money.
I tend to agree. And so 1509 says, if Crane doesn't want to sign Jorge Soler, then go grab Snell. Like, honestly, it feels like, no, that's not happening. But at this point in time, like, I feel like anything is possible. I feel like Kevin Garnett after they won the NBA championship yelling, anything is possible. Because it is. Like, if you're going to go all in, you might as well go all the way in and then figure out how you have too many arms later. And also, just outside of 7-8-9, I think what's interesting about this move is that, like, Rafael Montero was much better in the second half of the season last year than he was in the first half. So, like, you have him. You have Souza, who, like, we all kind of liked a little bit towards the end of the year. You have this mystery 98-mile-per-hour throwing Forrest Whitley, who's going to be a bullpen arm this year. Like,
is it crazy to say I'm kind of leaning towards being optimistic about Forrest Whitley being a one inning throw gas reliever?
Yep, 100%. I feel you, Byron. I'm with you.
Okay, all right. Because,
look, this kid has been talked about for so long. Like, I know it's the stupid JUCO guy on YouTube, but watching that video of Forrest Whitley throw 98 and then some of his other pitches, like the way they were moving, I'm excited.
I mean, there was a reason he was a top pick. There was a reason why he was a top, what? He was a top, like, 50 prospect at one point. Top, like, 20 prospect at one point.
I think he was number one. Like, I think
he's number one for the Astros. I don't think he was number one overall. Yeah. But regardless, he was way up there. That doesn't happen for no reason. That happens because the stuff is there. He obviously dealt with the drug-related suspension. He's had some injuries. There's a lot of things that have derailed him. They're well-documented. We don't have to run down the entire list. But behind all that, when you wipe away the dirt and the grime and you wash it away, there's a lot of talent somewhere in that, you know, that in that arm of Forrest Whitley. So if the Astros can harness all that ability into one inning and not have to worry about him developing like a third pitch or something, just focus on fastball and something off the fastball, I don't see why someone throwing 98 at his size with his talent couldn't be successful in a one inning role.
Like, they could throw three straight innings of guys throwing 98-plus if Forrest Whitley is healthy, with Forrest Whitley, Abreu, and Josh Hader. Like, they could throw straight gas for three straight innings.
And that doesn't even count Presley, who's usually, what, 96, 97?
He's like, he throws slow, Brian. He throws 96, 97. But, like, I'm excited. This is a move that, like, makes sense. It's funny because it's one of those moments, too, where in gambling, it makes me go, what does Vegas know? Because, like, all offseason, the Houston Astros have been the second betting favorite to go to the World Series from the American League, only behind the New York Yankees. And I'm like, are you guys sure about that? Like, you're losing three arms in your bullpen. We all kind of believe there might be the hammer that dropped with Kendall Graveman. You're not replacing Michael Brantley with Jake Myers as your everyday center fielder. Like, that sucks still. I'm not going to fully let that go until Jacob Melton comes up in September next year. But, like, this is why, like, they always were probably there, why they're the betting favorite to win the American League West. And, like, I had some money in my MyBookie account, free plug, but they do a lot of sponsorship on the station. I put a lot of money on the Astros to win the AL West and a lot of money for them to win the American League. I didn't do the World Series.
Before today?
Nope. As soon as the Hader deal went in.
Had the odds adjusted?
No.
Okay, that's not bad.
So I was like, I'm just going to sneak in there real quick. Like, I mean, give me a little plus money.
I share one of your comments there was about Jake Meyers. I certainly share that concern. If Jake Meyers is the everyday starting fielder, that's not ideal to say the least. But if the Astros, like a lot of us hope, make the move for someone like a Jorge Soler, then the question marks go away, because then it's Yordan in this situation, Yordan slash Soler in left. Of course, you have Tucker in right and Chaz in center, and you never have to worry about Jake Meyers other than, well, I was about to say the random, like, personal center fielder moments, but those days should be gone, too, with for Dusty sure. out the door.
And, you know, and the thing about Jake, too, like, as much as we bag on him, Jake Meyers to me isn't okay. This is going to be a weird. I'm going to get there. Jake Meyers is still an upgrade for the Houston Astros in 2024. My thought process behind that is this: he's better than Martin Maldonado. He's a better center fielder than Martin Maldonado was a catcher. He's a better hitter than Martin Maldonado was a hitter, and he's going to be your nine hole guy. Like because
okay,
of,
so
because
you're saying that it's an upgrade for the nine hole. Jake exactly. Meyers over Maldonado. Look, I still don't want him there, but I can go with you. I can go with you on that.
Like because Yainer Diaz is such an upgrade at the catcher position, it then makes Jake Meyers a solid upgrade, at least from like your nine-hole hitter perspective. He's better defensively at his position than Maldonado was, and he is better hitting-wise as well. 5798 says, Joe, I love it for the bullpen. Was uploaded for podcasts like the other shows. Hey, just so you know, I'm reading that because we are. We are on Apple Podcasts. Yeah,
I upload every show.
I know we're
frozen. We're just not on every night.
Yeah, we're just not on every night. And we're going to get more consistent going forward. Like, I'm out next week. I'm only have a show on Monday next week. I'm taking some vacation time, which isn't going to be vacation time. And we'll tease that, and we'll talk about that in the next segment because I need advice. But we're also going to talk Texans football. That's next year on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. We control the spice.
It is by the juice of Sapu that thoughts acquire speed, the lips acquire stains, stains become a warning. It is by will alone I set my mind in motion.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, you're back inside the bullpen with the producers from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wait, who let those guys up here? Security? That's them right there. Right there.
Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. RIP to the Twitch and YouTube stream for the night. We're not going to worry about it. We're just going to go straight radio for the rest of the show today. The computer crashed. I hope you left Twitch and YouTube to come hang out with us. We're going to do this in the next segment too, but I need some advice. I'm working one day next week and then taking off the next four. I'm going to be on dad duty for 4 days, and it's going to be 6 days of potty training. I'm going to try to accomplish this on my own.
You're going to try to start to finish this in 6 days?
I've been told that some people, if you handle it right, you can do it within like 2 days. So
man,
that
feels optimistic.
I'm gonna see if I can get it done in 6 days. Just me.
So you're
and
saying
him.
If the average competent man can do it in two, you can do it in six.
Well, I don't know if a man can do it in 2 days. But we're
okay, sorry.
Try.
Sorry, you're right. That was not very progressive of me. If the average competent person can do it in 2 days,
no, Brian, you got it wrong again. My point was maybe a woman can get it done in 2 days because they know what they're doing when it comes to parenting. I'm lost half the time.
Damn it! I'm trying to make the joke that you're one third less competent than the average person.
It's a good point.
We got there.
I think it's very possible. But we're gonna try in 6 days. If you have advice, I'm here for it.
I don't have any advice. I haven't started down that road with my 2-year-old.
My number one strategy going into this is going to be bribery. Okay, my plan is going to be M&Ms. Every time there's a successful in the toilet, M&Ms. Every time there's not, no M&Ms. So I'm going to try to it's like training a dog. I'm going to try to train my son to use the bathroom via the power of M&Ms. It's his favorite candy. I feel like it is a positive strategy, positive reinforcement. It's also straight bribery. My concern, Brian, is that in the long
you're
term,
setting a bad precedent.
Exactly. And what happens when the M&Ms go away?
Yeah, that would be my concern with that. That as soon as you take the M&Ms away, you might be setting yourself up for a silent protest that he will not do what you want him to do until he gets his M&Ms.
That's tough. That's tough. All right, let's talk about the other fun things going on. So we talked a lot about the Astros. But there's a big game this weekend. There's a big game between the Houston Texans and the Baltimore Ravens. It still kind of blows my mind that the Houston Texans are one of the final eight teams remaining in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I were the most optimistic. Well, other than Paul being in character and saying 10 wins on that video. But I think other than that, it's a bit.
You don't get credit for that, Paul.
No, I think you and I might have been the most optimistic at 7 wins, but still there, even with being on the plus side of positive, that there's no way anyone could expect it to win much, you know, win 10, to win the division, but much less beyond that to actually win your first round game.
Yeah, it is. What they have blown past every expectation this season. Now, the real question is, can they do it again? Like, is there a path in where you believe the Houston Texans are playing in their first ever AFC championship game, which does not include Lamar Jackson getting hurt and leaving the game? Let's assume everyone's healthy for this weekend. To me, what's crazy about it, my answer is yes. Like, I believe the Texans are going to cover the 9.5. I know we went against that in BZ Money. That's a bit at this point. But, like, there is still, I think, a clear path for the Houston Texans to win this round and get to their first AFC title game. Now, part of that is the team you're playing. Like, if this was the Bills, the Chiefs, I would probably feel very differently. But the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson are 1-3 in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson has as many playoff wins in his career as C.J. Stroud. Now, Lamar is going to win his second MVP. He has been the best quarterback in the NFL this year pretty consistently. It is super impressive what they have done with the new offense. But the reality is that, like, going back to his first game versus the Chargers in the playoffs, there has been a clear strategy, which was don't bring pressure and don't let him just run.
Yeah, smile. Basically create a shell.
Yeah, they went into, like, nickel or dime coverage pretty much the entire time the Chargers did. They took linebackers off the field to put more DBs on the field to match speed for speed with Lamar. So, like, it is shown. The wide receivers in Baltimore, like, I love Zay Flowers. The idea that, like, Rashad Bateman and OBJ are some kind of threat is a total joke. They are just as average in mid as Robert Woods is on this team. Like, OBJ has had a couple big splash plays this year, but, like, he is not consistently a good wide receiver.
No, and the only person that believes in Rashad Bateman is Josh Beard.
He cut him.
Yeah, oh, that's true. He did cut him. You know how, like, I think you pointed out, obviously, the Chargers' strategy. I don't know if you pointed out Lamar's record in the playoffs, yeah, but it's 1-3. Yeah. Have you looked up just how bad his numbers are?
They've been atrocious.
So I looked this up because this, spoiler alert, this is something we're going to talk about tomorrow on the Bullpen 12-2, along with Sean Mapes and Andrew Carlson will be on. But so in the playoffs, Lamar, he's only completing 55% of his passes. His quarterback rating is a 68. 3 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, and he's getting sacked a ton. He's actually gotten sacked 19 times in 4 games, fumbled 5 times.
It's pretty bad.
It's as bad as it gets.
So, like, and that's why I think there is hope, because, like, what if that's who he is? Like we talk about chokers all the time in sports, and oftentimes we don't want to put that label on a player until almost it's too late. Look, we used to have this conversation when I was a kid about Peyton Manning. Like, I know it was always a conversation. Like,
oh,
Peyton,
it sure Manning was for a long
can't
time.
Can't win the big one. John Elway can't win the big one. Like, all these guys can't win the big game because they don't. And Lamar doesn't win the big game. Now, do I think he's going to win this weekend? Most likely. But if that's who he is and that's his story again this weekend, you can win. On the other side of that, like, C.J. Stroud has blown past every single expectation this season times a billion. Like, this is not the Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan New York Jets that went to an AFC title game. That team was carried by defense and I think LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, this team is carried by their quarterback.
Was that the LT year?
It was. Like, this team is carried by C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins, who, it's so funny, we try to get this to the Killer Bees like 3 times this week, so I'm just going to steal it from myself. As much as we talked about, like, is C.J. Stroud already the number one quarterback in Texans history, at least number two behind Watson? Like, are we sure Nico Collins isn't already the third best wide receiver in franchise history? after what he did this off.
Certainly
like this
on, a singular season basis, he would be the only guys that have had bigger seasons than him are Andre and Hop. Yeah.
Now, low bar, for sure.
Who else would you even put above him? Like Kevin Walter?
Owen Daniels. He's not receiver. Owen Daniels, as pass catchers, he's probably behind Owen Daniels.
The obvious name that, and look, no one wants to give him his props. Because
David Anderson.
Shout out to David Anderson. David Anderson was once a part of a bit we did on the Fantasy Four-Way back in the day. No, but the obvious name that we don't want to talk about because it was during the Dark Ages a few years ago was Brandon Cooks. Like, he had multiple thousand-yard seasons with the Texans. So
that's a good argument.
If you take the name out because we don't really want to root for him or prop him up, then I think the proper answer is the third best is Brandon Cooks at this moment.
But
Nico could pass it as early as next season.
Yeah, so that's why if the Texans are going to win, it's because of those two guys. And you're kind of healthy, honestly. Like,
well, not only just win because of those two guys, but, I mean, look, because we went through this last week about everyone pointing back to the previous Browns game and then other people having to remind them, like, look, CJ wasn't out there. These aren't the same teams as they were that week compared to the playoff week. Well, that's even more true for this week because we're talking about week one of the season, the first game ever as a rookie for CJ Stroud compared to what would be, what, week 20 now if you're adding it up like the regular season? I mean, and some of the numbers, Stroud threw zero touchdowns in the game. He didn't rush for one either. It was only one of two games he had this entire season without a touchdown rushing or passing. He got sacked five times. That was the second highest total of the year. He had the second worst quarterback rating of the year. He had second worst yards per attempt of the year. And you could credit that to the Ravens defense, but I think as much of that also goes to the fact that it was Stroud's first game. He was on the road. If you think Stroud's going to have his second worst game of the season again,
no shot.
Sure, Ravens blow him out, but I don't think that's going to be true.
No, I think this is going to be a really good game. Like, I'm going to just, I'll go on the record, like, I'm picking Baltimore to win this game. It is not an anti-Texans or anti-CJ thing. I think they lose this game within a touchdown. Like I said, I think they cover.
Yeah, I think the Ravens lose, but Texans cover.
Yeah,
that's my pick as of now.
I took the shortest or the smallest potential middle I could ever get. I have the Texans minus 9.5, and I did jump on Baltimore, or the Texans plus 9.5. I did jump on Baltimore minus 7.5 when it weirdly dropped by 2 points. And then
that is a thin line.
I know, but I was like, man, like, why not? And then now it's back to 9.5 for some reason. But like, the thing about this game too is your key players are playing. Like Jerry Hughes is out, but Grenard, Will Anderson, Rankins, Collins, those guys are all in. Stingley's playing, obviously. Stevie Nelson. On the flip side, like, they are losing. Mark Andrews and Marlon Humphrey are out of this game.
Yeah, Humphrey.
So,
I mean, obviously Andrews is a huge loss too. Yeah. But what you fear, I think, I don't want to speak for you. What I fear the most is the Ravens defense more than Lamar.
100%.
Because of what we talked about earlier in the segment about Lamar's playoff struggles. And to me, if those other teams could figure it out, D'Amico could certainly figure it out.
Yeah, and that's where, like, for this game, when you talk about keys to win, how to win, blah, 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 I have no care or expectations in this world that Devin Singletary will rush for over 45 yards.
No.
Like, the idea that the Texans need to win the running game to win, I think you have bad view on it personally, because if Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, two of the best linebackers in the NFL, like, yes, and like, if you're right, if the Texans get a run game going this weekend, they're going to win by 10 points against the Baltimore Ravens. But you have one of the best defenses, the two of like the five best interior linebackers in the NFL. Like, if the Texans are going to win this game, it's because CJ Stroud is a super, super, super duper star in the NFL.
And
not
that's why
because of Devin Singletary.
And that's, to me, why the Marlon Humphrey injury is bigger than Mark Andrews. Because if you win this game, it's like you said, it's explosive plays in the passing game from CJ Stroud. So Marlon Humphrey being out, I mean, I still think CJ would be capable of it regardless, but certainly opens the door for that way more than it was before.
All right, Mike, we're going to get to you on the other side. I can't not break on time for potty training advice. My bosses would kill me, or I would kill me as APD/host/producer. All right, we're going to take a timeout, and plus we're going to embarrass Josh Beard, maybe, or his song was good. Find out next.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter-patter.
Well, pitter-patter, let's get at her.
Veritex Community Bank Studios is currently broadcasting The Bullpen. There are no real bulls inside the pen up there, but that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But the only occupant of the bullpen is this guy, Joe George.
Final segment of The Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just talking some Texans Ravens, talked a lot of Astros. Hey, you guys can find the podcast. If you didn't know, on Apple Podcasts, it might be on Spotify too, but I know for sure it's on Apple Podcasts. I have a hard time keeping track of where all of our stuff goes. Obviously, the Twitch died, so what's up to the radio listeners only? We're here for you. So I mentioned in the last segment, before we get back into this, some Texans-Ravens stuff, final thoughts on that, a parody from Josh Beard. I kind of like that he's doing these more consistently. I called him out last week. He followed through. Worked out great. It's a fun way to end Friday shows, I think, is to have Josh Beard sing for us or rap for us like today. He also does seem to lean towards the rap, which I find intriguing.
You lean towards the rap when you can't sing.
Good point. He could,
that's not a shot. I can't sing either. But that's the strategy.
We're trying to convince Joel and Beard to do a rap off of some kind.
I can't imagine.
I think I can get Joel to do it.
Joel to rap? I couldn't see that.
I think I could.
I would make a bet with you that you can't get him to do that.
That's a bet I'm not willing to take.
Okay.
So I'm not confident. But I also mentioned how I'm going to be out pretty much all of next week besides Monday. Because I'm going to be at home with my son. And while I'm gone for 4 days from the station, I'm going to attempt to potty train him. We have 6 days total. And Mike in Spring Branch is on the line and has training advice. Mike, what you got for me?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call, guys. Thanks. Appreciate the time. I just wanted to give you a little advice. So I have a 6-year-old son, and I took over kind of like the potty training things. And what I did was is I would take a piece of toilet paper and rip off single sheets. I would get a Sharpie marker and draw a bullseye on that and then throw it into the water. Once he hit the bullseye, that's when I would reward him with a candy or whatever you, M&Ms or whatever you want to. Try to make it like a little game for him, competitive thing. That way he's hitting the toilet, it's just not going everywhere. But the little pieces of toilet paper with the bullseye, throw it right into the water, it floats, and let him hit that bullseye, man.
Mike, how old was your son when you did this?
What's that?
How old was your kid?
My son's 6, so at the time he was around 3 or 4.
Okay. See, my son turns. Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate the advice. Now I feel like I'm wasting my time. That's great advice. My son's not even 3 yet. I couldn't explain that to him. Am I trying too early?
No, I'm not,
because I can't send him to daycare if I don't get him potty trained.
See, when you first, look, I haven't gone through this yet. My daughter is about 6 months younger than your son, so I didn't have firsthand experience with it. But when you first told me you were going to try it, I was like, man, he's not even 3 yet. I thought that felt early.
No, there are certain daycares where once you're in the 3-year-old classroom, you can't be in it until they're potty trained. So we're being backed into a corner here by some of the places that we want to go to.
He turns 3 soon,
in
right?
In March, yeah. We got 2 more months, so. I don't know, man. We're in a tough bind. I got a bad feeling. I got a feeling that when I come back, I'm going to be exhausted. Felt like I didn't take any vacation time and have a lot of horror stories. But to lighten up the mood and stop talking about this, because, for those that are listening, thank you. I appreciate you. To make your night worse, let's hear a parody from Josh Beard, the one and only co-host of Connor and Beard.
You think I'm too scared to do Nas? I'll do Nas. Not an NY state of mind. It's an H state of mind.
All right. H-Town, where the Texans reign supreme. Where legends are made, a city of broken football dreams. CJ Stroud, rising star, he in the making. Got that elite game so tight, ain't no mistaking. From the streets of Cali to the NFL stage. He got the skills, the thrills, he the one to engage. Can't deny he's him, it's clear to see. CJ Stroud, the future, the only one, the prodigy. Here in the H, game day's a celebration. H-Town bringing out the battle red nation. Stroud's got the arm precision and poise, getting first downs and touchdowns and making all the noise. D'Amico's defense, stopping the opponent's run. Making big plays on the sidelines, we having fun. Together they're a force and stopping before they out to fight. The Texans team will lead, together shining bright. We bleeding blue and red, Texas to the end. No one can stop it, D'Amico destined to ascend. Standing together arm in arm so we can be someone. Repping that blue and battle red, singing our battle song. So take notes, this is the city's time to shine. Houston, Texas collides and now we redefine. Houston, Texas. That H is state of mind.
I like last week's better. I thought this was fine. They pointed this out on the B's. Astute observation from both Joel and Jeremy. The lyrics are good. The lyrics are good. They're creative.
It lost rhythm at times to me. Like it almost got some. The lyrics were good, but some of it got too like wordy. It felt like there was too many syllables and it didn't fit in the context of the beat.
Jeremy said that he felt like auto-tune, even though it was just rapping, would be a huge bonus to it. I think so too. So like now I feel like
the sound of auto-tune. Yeah. No, I'm gonna disagree with you and Jeremy on that one. But now Josh, voice.
I kind of want to hear Josh do like a T-Pain song and then do the auto-pain with it, the auto-tune with it, and just
can we start making requests to Josh?
I did. I told
what'd
him
you,
he should
what'd you request?
I told him he should do Usher's DJ Got Us Falling in Love Again, but CJ Got Us Falling in Love, and I think it's gonna he's gonna do it. He said just not this week. It didn't fit, and I'm like, that's fine. He said we'll get it at some point. But it's also like a football season thing. I feel like you can't do it all year round.
You don't think we can write songs about Jalen Green?
What, sucking ass? Being benched? He's not good, man. The Rockets don't play defense. Like, we got so
they
gassed.
Were, though, Joe. That's the crazy thing. I can't remember what the cutoff point was. But
they
were
number two in the NBA.
Well, there was a point in December, and they had played, like, 20-plus games at this point. So it wasn't like it was, a week into the season. They had the number one points per game defense in the Western Conference.
And then now.
And then just straight downhill since.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. I mean, definitely Dylan Brooks was hurt for a good amount of time. A decent chunk. Tari Eason. Like, those are two guys that are either your best defender or one, maybe your second best defender in Tari Eason. He's at least top four on this team. But Dylan Brooks is clearly number one. It's not working. It is. I need the Rockets. Why can't the Rockets just make me feel like the Texans and the Astros make me feel? Like, you guys know me. If you listen to me, whether it's here or one of the other five stations I've worked at in town, I'm from Chicago. And I am a bandwagon fan. I'm a bandwagon Texans fan.
A therapy session? You're admitting this now?
I've always admitted this. I'm a bandwagon Astros fan. I'm not born and raised for these teams, but I love them. I want to love you, Rockets. Let me love you. But they don't. They don't let me love them. I hated James Harden. I hated the way he played basketball. I loved Russell Westbrook. He was not good here. And then this nonsense we saw with, like, the last 2 years with Silas was worse. And then this year I got so excited, Brian, and now I feel like I'm just being let down again. I need the Rockets to make me love them.
I think we got ahead of ourselves with the expectations. Like
that,
I mean that. As I say that, I realize understatement of the century.
Well, no, but like it's not your fault. Like this,
no, we went into the season thinking, hey, maybe they could win 30, 35 games, be in the hunt for the playing game, until the last couple of weeks of the season, and then they start off the year. Not the very start, because they started off 0-3, but after that, they got to a point where they were, like, fairly solidly, not only in the play-in game, but, like...
Or out of the play-in game.
Yeah, they were, like, the 8th seed, which, traditional playoffs format before the play-in game would have been in the playoffs, even without the extra teams, and then since then, it's just straight downhill.
No, like, I think the Rockets kind of got unfair expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Like
because of the Texans.
You think that was it?
The vibes were hot. Like, the Texans were in the playoffs no matter what, or they were right there. Like, everyone thought the Texans were going to make the playoffs. And then the Rockets were, like, the 5 seed, 6 seed, 7, 8. Like, they were locked into the playoffs. So I felt like we all kind of were just like, hey, the rebuilds worked. And then the Rockets, off the cliff. I think they'll still make the play-in tournament, though.
I don't know.
Maybe not. The Warriors might need to blow it up for that to fully happen. We'll see. All right, that does it for us. Brian, do the Texans win?
No, I'll go 24-21 Ravens.
I got Ravens 28, Texans 24. All right, that does it for us. Josh Hader's an Astro. The Texans will win tomorrow because we just picked against them. You're welcome, Houston. That does it for the bullpen. I'll be back tomorrow, Monday at 3. I'll be back tomorrow with the post-game show. Brian will be here tomorrow with Mapes and Andrew at 12. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5. God listens to us too.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.